The multitudes that came to listen and to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, they came from many different backgrounds and places, but they also came with different reasons. There were different motives for people coming before the Lord. Some people came in the expectation that they might see a miracle. And they were longing to see, maybe perhaps, the blind made to see, the lame made to walk. They had heard about it, they had heard the story, but they personally wanted to encounter that experience. Others came out of curiosity. They were curious about what he had to say. Others came in order to find fault. And they came, in a sense, with that sense of criticism. They wanted to find fault in his words and seek to therefore bring charge against him. And especially numbered amongst those people, you had the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees. And for them, most of their motive was that they might find and take up some issue with what he had to say. Then, of course, there were others who came in sincerity. They were longing to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, longing to hear something about the Lord, about his glory. Therefore they came not basis of sincerity. Here, the portion that we were reading from in Matthew chapter 6 is part of this very famous portion here, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us about this very fact. It says in Matthew 5 verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And so here the Lord delivers this very powerful sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Can I say that oftentimes it has been a sermon by the main that has been taken out of context. I'm not speaking in our own church circles, but I'm speaking in a wider sense out there in so-called Christian circles, and you think especially of the Beatitudes, that are so readily taken out of context. And for instance, "Blessed are the meek." Well, they shall inherit there from this, and the emphasis, well, as long as you're meek, then you're going to inherit the kingdom of God, if you're pure in spirit. And it goes on and on. "And blessed are the peacemakers." And therefore a man who is seeking to make peace here on earth is described as being as a peacemaker. And therefore a servant of God. But the Sermon on the Mount, whilst to many is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted passages in all of the Bibles, it is not a golden set of rules whereby if man lives by these rules, lives up to this expectation that that will merit him favour with God, that will get him an entrance into heaven. No, the Sermon on the Mount and the attitudes, what they are essential characteristics of God's people. Putting it very simply, the Lord was saying, if you are a follower of Christ, a follower of the Lord, you're a Christian. Here are the essential characteristics. Here's what it means to be a subject in God's kingdom. For the kingdom here spoken about is the Lord's kingdom. Christian is therefore one whose life is marked out with praise, with joy. He is one who is pure in spirit. He recognizes, he understands his worthlessness and nothingness before God. He is broken before the Lord. He is one who is mourning. We have so much to mourn over, don't we? Our own spiritual lack of power, etc. He's one who is given to humility, and so we go through the list. And hear the Lord in bringing this very powerful sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. There's emphasis on what it means to be a Christian. You're a Christian. Here is how you're going to live. Here is how you're going to subject yourself to the Lord and submit yourself to Him under His kingship and under His authority. You find here in verse 31 of our chapter and the verse 32, the Lord here said, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And there are reference in particular to the Gentile, the non-believer, the non-Christian, the Gentile. Verse 33. Our text this evening we're going to consider, for the Lord said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And tonight I want us to consider this thing of seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. There is here a priority to seek the Lord. Notice what it says here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here is something that is essential. It is an absolute must for every single individual. Men, of course, and women are seeking after many things. We can take time just for a few moments to stop and think of some of those things that men are seeking after. Man is, of course, seeking after pleasure and the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin that the book of Hebrews reminds us are only for a season. They're short-lived. How many people there are today, and for them life is all about what you can make it. I know that as a young man, my whole outlook on life, my whole philosophy was, well, life's all about enjoyment. Life's about the here and now. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the way I lived my life. I thought it was all right. In reality, I was all wrong. And there are multitudes, so many who are taken up with the pleasures of this world. We live in the midst of a pleasure-crazy generation, don't we? Where the emphasis is all about life is what you make it. Of course, we know that is not the case. Because anything that man does is not lasting or worthwhile, not fulfilling. Think of some and their priority. They're seeking not only the pleasures of the world and the things of the world, but they're seeking for wealth and prosperity. And their whole outlook in life, their whole goal, their whole ambition is to amass more and more wealth and riches. There are multitudes like that. And they really would sum up the success of someone's life by their bank balance, by how much they've attained and amassed in the world. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that you can have everything, but in reality have nothing. You could be the richest, poorest man. Seems a contradiction, doesn't it? In other words, you can have everything materially, but spiritually be bankrupt. Because no matter what man amasses, no matter what wealth he has, he's going to leave it all behind. I read just very recently, it was an article, and it was about some folks who had won quite staggering amounts of money, millions and millions, dollars and pounds, whether by the various lotteries, etc. I don't know very much about it. But whatever the form of gambling was, and they amassed huge fortunes, as it were, only for them to test it and say that it brought them nothing but misery and pain. Hardly. See, man has this thought that because the things of the world and he can amass great riches and wealth, that will mean that it will be an end to his problems. And people sadly make the mistake of thinking that riches equals happiness. Well, you'll only have to begin to delve in, not if you want to, by the way, and look at the outcome of the superstars, or whatever, in the eyes of the world, they're stars, and to think of their end, and an end in heartache, and ruin, and loneliness. Man, he's seeking pleasure, he's seeking prosperity. Oh, so many are seeking popularity. They want to be numbered amongst the not only rich, but also the famous. They want a name in the sense is up there in lights. They want people to recognize them, to look up to them. So many people like that. They always think that by possessions, bigger house, better job, all those things that it's going to bring contentment. Others, it's passion and lust in the things of the world. We read about Solomon, don't we? How that Solomon was seeking out the purpose of life. We read about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. He was on that journey, that quest. What is life all about? And so he went to various methods and to various things of the world, seeking for fulfillment. And whether it was to the pleasures of the world, and to the wine, and to women, to all those things. He went to learning, and to books, etc. And so many different things. On a quest to find satisfaction. And then he came to the whole conclusion, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, said the preacher. He came to the conclusion that life was empty and meaningless without God. That the whole purpose to life is to know God, to obey God, and to be reconciled to God. The priority to seek the Lord. Sadly, man is not seeking the Lord. Rather, he's seeking his own self-fulfillment in the things of the world, his own selfish lusts and desires. You think of Adam there in the Garden of Eden, whenever he had sinned against God, and the Lord came and he said, Adam! Adam, where art thou? Why? The Lord knew exactly where Adam was. Not as though the Lord was calling out his name to try and find him. God is omniscient, he knows all. But what he was doing is, he was calling Adam to accountability, to own up, to stand up, to recognize his sin and his need. Of course, when he came to Adam, Adam blamed the woman, and then the woman, she blamed the serpent. It wasn't me. It was the woman. You made her. And when he came to Eve, well, it was the serpent who tricked me, who beguiled me. And we live in a day and generation where we might call up the blame culture. Not like that. And even as I think of my own ministry and working with individuals and people, it's not my fault. I didn't choose to go down this pathway. Oh, I've got a disease. It's not my fault. I can't help the fact that I'm in addiction, etc. God calls men to face up to the responsibilities, to their failures, to the wrong choices that they've made. Man is not seeking the Lord, but here's a priority. And the Lord Jesus Christ, here before the multitudes, he said, here's the priority. Here's something that has to come first. It has to come first in all of our lives. Seek ye first, above everything, above all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a believer in Christ? It means that Jesus Christ comes first. In front of everything and everyone, he comes first. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The priority here is to seek the Lord. Man needs to seek the Lord because man is unclean. He's undone. Man is a poor, lost, guilty sinner before God. He is unrighteous. He is unclean. He is in need of cleansing and forgiveness. The Bible points us to the very fact that it is our sin that has separated man from God. God is holy. Man is sinful. God is pure. Man is unclean. God is perfect. We are imperfect. Here the Lord reminds us very fact that we need to seek the Lord and we need to seek His righteousness. And the only way that any man, woman, or young people, person can have a right standing before the Lord is in and through Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that He is my righteousness. I approach God on the grounds of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was made sin for us. Praise God there at the cross. You can testify that our sins were laid upon Him. But when you come to Christ, praise God, that perfect life that He lived, that righteousness, is reckoned to your account. God sees you through His Son. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And can I say that as the Lord's people, we're not just to seek the Lord, but we're to seek the Lord continually. This is something that we're to do every single day of our lives. We're to seek the Lord in His strength, and to seek His face evermore, continually, every day. What good advice. The priority for seeking the Lord. There's also here the period for seeking the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here, as the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching and speaking here to the multitudes before Him, there is a sense of urgency and great need. The reality is that none of us knows what a day may or will bring forth. We do not know how much time we have here upon earth. We just don't know. And therefore, man is to seek the Lord whilst he has that opportunity. Thank the Lord tonight we're living in a day of grace. When the free offer of the gospel is extended to men and women, the whosoever will may come. Praise God for that message. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, we have a very well-known portion and some well-known verses, but here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, we read, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." We're living in that day of grace. God is speaking. He's granting that opportunity. Of course, there'll come a time when time will be no more. There'll come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ, each of us, will meet the Lord and will meet Him through death. We'll stand before Him and we'll give an account. You think of the days of Noah going out to preach to a lost and fallen world. Noah being mocked and scoffed at. Noah being ridiculed. And there he was, a preacher. And the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So he was preaching the exact same message. He was preaching the fact that God is holy. Man is sinful. And you need to be reconciled to God. You need to turn and repent of your sin. You need to trust the Lord. And Noah preached that message. He delivered his soul. He preached faithfully. Yet we're told that only Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives entered into the ark to stay in total. And the world that them was then perished. And the Bible tells us that God shut them in. God closed the door of the ark. Not only did the Lord shut Noah and his family in, but He shut a world out. And that day of grace was passed. There was no opportunity to enter in and be saved. Genesis 6 verse 3 reminds us where God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Can I say, the Bible reminds us of the very fact that it is time to seek the Lord. And the only time that you and I are guaranteed is now, this very moment. Oftentimes you'll read through the obituary columns these words: died suddenly. The thought there conveyed is, it wasn't expected. It came without warning. There were no signs. Just recently, I don't know if you like to watch the football, but match with Denmark when player just dropped to the ground. It's a very poignant moment. A fit man, top athlete, and in a moment of time he dropped dead. Of course he was revived. I happened to be watching that match and began to pray for him. And I was praying, "Lord, speak here. Show men and women the brevity of life. We live our lives as if we have so much time left. Lord, bring before individuals a reality. But life is so, so short, and in a moment of time can be cut off." The period for seeking the Lord, that time is not. The Bible here also points us to the fact of not only the priority to seek the Lord in the period, but also the promise about when we seek the Lord. Notice what it says here in the verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, we have the promise that when we seek the Lord with all of our heart, God says we shall find him. What a wonderful promise that is. You'll not read in Scripture of a Christ who turns away men and women who reject him. No, you will read of one who is not only able to save, but one who is willing to receive and to save. It was, of course, the accusation of the scribes and Pharisees that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And they were literally saying, well, surely if he was who he claims to be, the Son of God, surely if he is the Messiah, he wouldn't be receiving such people as these to himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ went on to tell the parable of the lost sheep, silver and son, just to demonstrate and to show how he does receive sinners. The sheep that was lost, the silver that was lost, the son that was lost. And to, in fact, demonstrate and show that he is a Christ who receives men and women. And the promise of the gospel, that when we come to him, when we turn to him with our hearts, we cry to him, he will receive us. Amos chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. That's not just speaking of physical life, it's spiritual life. The Word of God reminds us of the very fact that you and I were dead in trespasses and in sins. We cannot worship God right because of our sin. We're dead to God and the things of God. We need to be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be made alive in Christ. We need to be redeemed.
when we seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord gives to us that eternal life.
I give unto my sheep eternal life,
and they shall never perish. What a wonderful promise. Notice here the Lord said that when we seek the Lord, when we put Him first, His kingdom, His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that the Gentiles seek after, that they clamor after, that they're longing for, that they're worried about, that they're troubled with, that they're taken over with, that they're consumed by. The Lord was saying, when we come to Him, give our lives to Him, He will take care of His children every day of our lives. Each of us, can't we can testify to that fact, those of us saved by the grace of God, we can testify to the reality that the Lord has indeed met our need, and He does meet the need, and He will meet that need, because He is ever faithful. Praise the Lord. We who were dead in sin, now having quickened and made alive, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But as we close out the message here this evening, I want you to think here of the peril of not seeking the Lord. Hear the Lord as He delivered the Sermon on the Mount, and He preached about the kingdom of God, what it means to be a subject in that kingdom, to be following the Lord, to be submitted to Him, to be obedient unto the King. As the Lord preached that message, He did emphasis, as He concluded that message, the parable of the wise and the foolish man. Matthew chapter 7 tells us about the parable, the wise man that built his house upon a rock. We sang about it, having that sure foundation, our life built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, having a secure foundation. The foolish man building his house upon the sand, that which would crumble, that which would be cast away, that which would fall, and great would be the fall of it. What a great price to pay. You think of the peril of meeting the Lord unsaved, unprepared, not ready. Couldn't really put into words, could we, what it would mean to stand before the Lord unsaved, unforgiven, uncleansed, to hear those words depart into everlasting ruin, into everlasting fire. Oh, the great tragedy of not being prepared to meet the Lord. Are you prepared? Are you ready? The young and the old alike. Each of us needs to have that priority to put the Lord first, to seek Him first above everything and everyone. To seek His righteousness. To be clothed in Christ. To follow Him, to submit to Him. To love Him. To be ready to meet Him. I trust that each of us will be prepared and ready to meet the Lord. You're not a Christian, you're not saved. That even this very night, if you would come to Christ, trust Him, be saved. God bless His word to our hearts. And may the Lord speak on to our souls. The mind is all about the brevity of life. It's just so short. We need to have the priority. Christ first. Christ for me.